It's a separatist aspect of feminist art practice. Is it still continuing as a very strong thing, or do you think it's it'll merge at some point?
It's merging. I think it almost is merging too soon for my taste. I mean, I know the separatist thing has not been strong over here and has been unpopular in Europe generally, mainly because of the more general Marxist politics. I mean, even in New York, even the most sort of politically involved people are not all Marxists. In fact, some of the least politically involved people call themselves Marxist, and the most politically involved people don't call themselves Marxist because it has become so chic that nobody wants to use the term. I mean, it's a ridiculous business. But anyway, there is a... And of course, the fact that, well, as here, I suppose, that a lot of feminists arose from the far left... having been treated like dogs on the far left, you know. There wasn't any tremendous urge to dash right back into it with open arms.
Yeah.
I mean, I think a certain period of separatism was bound to come out of the way women had been treated within the left organizations.
I mean, is the women's school in Chicago, is that...
Los Angeles,
is that still going to continue?
Yeah, I mean, that's the second building they've completely remodeled. It's an extraordinary place.
What is it now?
Oh, it's still, well, they have, men come to a lot of the functions there, and some of them are women only, but a lot of them, the performances, the lectures and so forth, are both. I mean, I've spoken there to men.
Yeah.
And their classes that are, I think... I'm not sure whether the classes are marked women only or whether it's just the women's building, and since they're mostly involved in feminist praxis, that men don't come and so on. But that's been the stronghold of separatism, so-called.
Yeah.
And Judy Chicago, who was the founder, one of the founders of it, and then the founder of that whole idea, really, in a way, and has pulled out since to work on the dinner party, which she's had something like 80 people working on, and they're about 40 at a time, over the past 3 years. That increasingly is having more men involved. Mm. There have been a couple of men all along, or been coming in. No, who work. I mean, there's something like 30-some women and two or three men who have been all along working almost full-time on the thing.
Yeah.
I mean, who've been... fully committed to it as a feminist work, but male feminist. And Judy is particularly, partly because of the way her personal life has gone, has been particularly interested in doing more things with men and being in mixed situations and so forth.
Yeah.
And some of this, I think, has to do with, with making the thing that she's put 3 or 4 years of her life into more effective, just in terms of the world in general. And, I mean, the thing about New York is that it was very anti-separatist to begin with. And that separatist idea came from the West Coast, and I was one of the few proponents of it in New York.
Yeah.
And there was a tremendous resistance against it. I resisted it, too, at first. I always seemed to drag ass a little bit at the beginning. But then, it sort of came up finally more strongly much later than in L.A., and now it's the separatist aspect. I think it's lost ground to some extent on the basis of getting into the art world. I mean, that people tend to drop their separatism once they get into the real thing, which is not, a politically oriented thing. It's economically, to put it politely.
Have there been, as a result of this whole activity, has there been a lot of women who've managed to gain positions within that whole art world?
Well, position, yes.
I mean, has the proportion of women increased?
Yes, incredibly. I mean, 1,000% or something. I mean, really a huge amount.
Yeah.
Which isn't much considering where it started when you think of what 1,000% is, starting from one or whatever. I mean, it still doesn't get anywhere near 100, but but the fact remains that there has been a gigantic improvement. And whether that improvement is actually for the better or whether it just means that women are going to be reabsorbed into what the art world is about in the first place is very queasy. And I think it's a real sort of dangerous point. I mean, Heresy's is all women, and we've only published work by women, whereas some of the other magazines have published work
by men as well.
By men, Chrysalis doesn't publish men's work either.
Yeah.
But there's a magazine called Women Art, which has men writing for it. And
yeah.
Why it's called Women Art, I still haven't quite figured out, but anyway, but it is mostly about the work of women. And I mean, I still feel that it's very I mean, for a certain, for the generation that's just starting to get into feminism, whatever age they may be, I mean, whether they're 50 or 15, it's still very important. I mean, things haven't changed much in society itself, it's still very important for women to, you know, get together and to have that kind of confidence that you get from other women and not be immediately stood on in mixed groups, and that still happens. I mean, you know, you, it's not, life is not, I mean, I was amazed, I guess it's about almost 2 years ago now, the Art Workers Coalition had stopped in 1971, and there was a gap, and there was a gap that there wasn't anything, 72 or whatever it was, no, 71, where there wasn't anything going on as a mixed political art group, and the women's, all of us women who had been in the coalition, and many more besides, had been totally involved in feminism. The Artists and Writers protest continued as a mixed group, but that that just sort of comes to the fore when something ghastly happens in the world and we leap up and do a benefit or something. I mean, you know. But in general, it is a constantly meeting group. There were smaller Marxist study groups and so on that were meeting, but finally, anyway, it started again, partly over the Rockefeller bullshit at the Whitney Museum. It only this in 74, I guess. No, 75. And no, 75 as a brace up for the bicentennial. I mean, which was a great sign for all the worst elements of American patriotism to rise to the fore again. But anyway, so we started. The organization started again, not called Art Workers Coalition, but very similarly, a group of the same people called Artists Meeting for Cultural Change. And this was the first time that I had been, aside from forays into benefit shows and this and that, had been involved in a mixed political group since for 4 or 5 years.
Oh, I see.
I and several other women, and so anyway, we were all involved in the beginning of it. We this thing met for, still meeting, I think. It finally split in two, and the whole business. But anyway, for a year there was a great interest in the art world. I mean, it was, there'd been a period of backlash. Now all of a sudden it was coming on again, and and the younger artists were far more politically savvy than they had been when we started the coalition. I mean, for instance, in just theoretic, I mean, in theory, Marxist theory and so on, there was much more.
They had much more background.
I mean, it used to be that Karl Andre was the only person who could quote Marx. Now everybody could quote Marx. It was like a whole, whole kind of other thing. But, I mean, from a female point of view, a feminist point of view, it was really here we go again. I mean, you know, we all sort of looked forward to it, really. I mean, it was going to be nice to be working with a mixed group again in a funny way. I mean, to feel that you were, could begin to reintegrate.
Yeah.
And yet, there was this business. I mean, we, Carolee Schneemann did a paper on the tyranny of pronouns. I mean, the same old business about do you always have to use the male pronoun, which is an extremely minor point, but a very basic one. I mean, it's the foundation of a, that kind of thinking of a lot of other things. And could we get this large group of passionately political types to ever use the female pronoun? Hell no. You know, it just went on and on and on, and finally some of us started jumping up every time somebody used the only male pronoun, and then people got, you know, well, what do you, I mean, you rotten feminists are always trying to drag this into these minor things. I mean, you know, it didn't get to quite that endless shouting thing. Yeah. But, and we had a some people did some feminist papers, and women were commenting on them for the first hour.
Yeah.
Men weren't allowed to comment for the first, and then men could come in. And when the men came in, they had nothing to say. I mean, they just couldn't have been less interested. And we realized that there was still an incredible amount of work to be done if this was indeed the socially conscious area of the art world. I mean, you know, if these were the people who supposedly were so sensitive to oppression, you know, then everybody was really in trouble.
Yeah,
because
yeah.
if they couldn't even pay attention to the women who were, had been working side by side with them all this time and so on, and now had come in with a feminist thing that everybody knew it was chic to be feminine. I mean, the men all knew they were supposed to do this.
Yeah,
that they couldn't stand up as political beings and not go along with this. And at the same time, they were incapable of it. And Art and Language published, which was a large faction in this group, published another one of their magazines and did the same thing with the pronouns right on through. The artist, he, the critic, he, right on through. I mean, you know, it just makes you... I mean, it drove me right the hell back to separatism. Yeah. I thought, all right, they're not ready yet, and I'm not going to waste my time trying to reform
I mean, I think
the men. I'd rather spend the time being supported by and supporting other women.
When this latest conference on the state of British art a few weeks back, it really brought it home to us that we were completely invisible. And, you know, we thought, well, what have we been doing?
Still, yes. It's
and there were two women who did speak within that conference, Lisa Tickner and Mary Kelly, and who actually, I think Lisa actually mentioned women artist names at one point. But I think several of us realised, you know, came together in a little huddle at the end and said, you know, my God, you know, we still need to get together. And I think a few of us have now realised that we've got to regroup again.
Mm.
And so, you know, we're actually going to do that here. and start actually putting out written material just to kind of re-establish some things. Because what you also realise is that nothing exists unless it's in print. And I think Heresies is kind of seen as a very important step, you know, all
yeah,
around.
It felt like that for us. It's interesting because I was talking to Rosie Parker today about...
Yeah.
And she said, well, it really has filled a gap. And I said, you know, when we first started, I was very excited about it and everything. But I didn't realize, and I don't think any of us really did, how much of a gap there was. I mean, we said to ourselves, this is going to fill a gap. I mean, because we were aware there was a gap between socialism and feminism that was just, in America anyway, was just completely unfilled, and art and politics and so forth.
Yeah.
But it wasn't until we actually got going that and realized the response that we were getting that there really was. We're just making it up. There was a gap. I mean, that was what we did with when we were trying to raise money from people, you know, get their $2. We'd say, "This is going to fill a gap." But the gap is still terrifying. I mean, it's still there. The great danger in America, because so many women are being shown now in the galleries, especially the commercial galleries, is that people will feel that we can rest on our laurels and succeeded. And it's not success at all. It's the tiniest toehold, which can be lost in a second. And that's what really made me realize when we went to this artist meeting for cultural change thing.
Well, you know that in a sense you can never win. That you have to.
It's like a treadmill as hamsters on this.
You have to keep going.
Yeah.
All the time. You know, the same thing happens with legislation. That even when we get legislation like Equal Pay and like the Sex Discrimination Act, that one realises that they're never going to hand it over to you. there are always going to be giant loopholes left on the side of the employer in the case of this legislation. Which is how, you know, for instance, when women were given equal pay, when we looked at the factory situation, we realised that the company was then working like mad to reverse the situation,
mm-hmm.
so that it found out a way of using another pool of cheap labour, or it found that it could move the whole factory onto shifts. Those of us who have tended to be most active have also been most active in other areas as well.
Most active in the separatist level have also been active in the mixed
and
political scene.
And that has detracted from our separatist activities.
Yeah.
And
credentials.
So that we haven't been able to put that kind of energy into that area.
Mm.
And there's been a tendency within separatist areas for things actually not to get done.
Hmm.
And
I don't understand that with all of the terrific women I've met here and so on.
Yeah.
You all seem to be so fairly clear about what you're up to. Why is it that it doesn't...
I don't think there's been enough of us. There hasn't been enough
people never enough. There's no question about that. But still.
To do it. I mean, just the kind of pressure of surviving. And I think that after that period of going into... of abdicating art practice, then a few of us then had to use the other tactic of then establishing ourselves as artists, because then if you didn't establish a few women not that they were into an art market or anything like that, but if you didn't get a layer of women who were demonstrating their art practice within a gallery, a public gallery or at least, then there was nothing to build on the art practice itself. And although there were quite a few mixed exhibitions, the thing about a mixed exhibition was that it does a different thing from, say, someone laying out themselves, you know, what they do completely, you know.
Group and exhibitions.
So that it seems, I mean, I find it incredibly difficult to actually produce the work I do, earn a living, and to look after kids as well.
Don't we all?
And to actually, so, and to do bits and pieces of writing and things. That you can't possibly cope with it. I mean, there's no way you can then start reorganising something else. But I think that I was a bit, I mean, I thought that the Women's Free Arts Alliance, once the whole thing had been built up, that the Women's Free Arts Alliance then would be able to build up a healthy situation. And why that hasn't happened, I can't really
too many different
understand.
Groups. I wonder if to some extent it has to do with the geography of London, because I know that like in San Francisco and even LA, I mean even LA, especially LA, it's always so different from New York. I mean the community is so broken up.
I mean, do you
it's
think
so
it's
spread around, and so I mean, there's no place in London that I can imagine going on a Saturday. I mean, and meeting 50 people in the afternoon, just wandering through the streets that you know, thereby going to a pub and talking with people that you meet at random who do have something in common with you. I mean, this whole business that one thing New York still has going for it, for all the lousy things it also
there isn't any focal
that
point.
Kind of community, and it's very hard to, I think, for people to. I mean, I find not just the alliance, and not just feminism, but every aspect of. I mean, from the brief glimpses that I've had of the whole London art scene, seems very fragmented and extremely opposed to each other, vitriolically opposed to each other.
Yeah, I mean, I think that.
I mean, New York is bitchy too, heaven knows, but it's. It's a different kind of.
I think it is bad, because I think what it's done is split us all up.
Yeah. And which heaven knows we tend to be split too, and everything we've done.
I think that we may be into a second phase or a third phase, whatever you might call it, where people will have to try and pull together.
Because it's interesting, because the feminist movement here. Has already been through, in a funny way, one of the phases that we've been through, because we are now just getting it together from separatism to deal more with, some of us, more with sort of so-called real politics.
Yeah,
whereas here, you started out like that.
Yeah.
But there seems to be a need. I mean, I do think the separatist phase, as a result of consciousness raising into separatism, and then maybe opening
how did
up.
The women somehow the women artists relate to the women's movement in general in the States? I mean,
there's very little connection in a funny way.
Yeah, well, you see, I think that we're much more absorbed into the whole thing.
Well, I don't know. I mean, it's not that there is very little connection. I mean, as I was saying, the Red Stockings, which were the earliest sort of women's group, were several of them were out of the first 10 people, several of them were artists, which is very interesting. I mean, considering the art world itself is usually very backward politically. I mean, how come the early feminist group, several of them were visual artists, Pat Minardi and Irene Pislikas and
Well, you see, Millett, I think that's the essential difference, really, that the visual arts within the feminist movement as a whole, it seems to the rest of the feminist movement to be very unimportant.
Oh, but it does in the States too. It's just that very little heart at the beginning, and then those people didn't really get involved in the women's art movement. In fact, tended to be, well, Pat Minardi I'm thinking of, tended to be sort of opposed to separatism.
Yeah.
And so there was a big split there. I mean, it's had all. I mean, the history.
See, the women artists that I met in the early period in 1970, when we first formed the first London Women Arts Group. I think I was the only one that went into the art side. I mean, they all seemed to drop out of that. and go in and work for things like right. drag
yeah.
and do other things within the women's movement as
see,
a whole.
See, that's the compelling aspect of the. I mean, that did happen to some of the people I think who were originally in the women's movement,
yeah.
who were artists. But once the New York art world is large enough. And absorbent enough, and
yeah.
compelling enough, and competitive enough, and the whole number.
Yeah.
People stay in it generally.
Yeah.
People don't
yeah.
tend to wander out of it.
Well, there was nothing to belong
because you
to.
Can still, yeah, but I mean, it's yeah. definitely a very incestuous little world that it. It's not that you can't get out of it.
Yeah.
But it's sort of hard to, if any, it has a tentacle. I mean, especially if you want to be an artist, because that's the place. But I wanted to get back to this business of sort of. The backwards and forwards. I mean, I don't know who was backwards and who was forwards. But the fact that there's never been a woman show at an institution or a large woman show at all in London. The women's art shows have been, I mean, the Alliance has done them, and
well,
there's one at Swiss Cottage.
Yeah.
And
we had that first one in Woodstock.
And women's
out.
Work one,
yeah.
yeah. But not anything that a lot of people saw. Not something that existed
yeah.
within the framework of the... Of a, and we have found... I mean, and again, this isn't the goal of everybody, that this has brought more women into the art world to doing this. And then the Hayward is being picked by 5 women, but it's a mixed show.
I believe that for a certain part, you didn't actually participate fully in feminist art activities.
No, well, at first I didn't at all, and then I did fully. There was never any halfway business.
But what brought you into that
yeah.
situation.
Well, I was politically involved in the Artworks Coalition and the anti-war movement and all of that that was going on in
67,
68, 69.
Yeah.
And in 69, within the Artworkers Coalition, which was a dissident artists group involved in protesting the museum's lack of political responsibility, artists' lack of political responsibility, setting
yeah.
up community things. I mean, it was a whole huge venture. And a very, very mixed group. And a group of women started something called Women Artists in Revolution, War. And I remember being really rather embarrassed by it. When we put in our list of demands to some museum, we covered every little picture, but we hadn't covered the feminist one because this really was just creeping into the art world. And Women Artists in Revolution, which is Juliet Gordon and Nancy Spiro and Dolores Holmes, anyway, whole group of people, came up with this, and I remember feeling, well, I've got to support it, but how embarrassing, and so forth. So and they kept saying, well, but I didn't come to the meetings or anything. I simply sort of said, yes, this should be in the list of demands. And they said, well, how come you aren't involved? Because you know, you should be a feminist. I mean, look at you. And I always said, I made it as a person and not as a woman. And
yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
I had the same thing that everybody had about not wanting to. I mean, who wanted to be a woman? I knew that was inferior. You know, and I worked all this way, so I wouldn't have to be identified with women. And,
yeah.
And I mean, I did,
so
my consciousness
be,
was simply
yeah,
not
yeah.
on the level that theirs was. And so I was sort of half-assed sympathetic, but I didn't.
Yeah.
I didn't join them at all. And
so
I
what precipitated you?
And then I went to Spain, of all places, to live for 3.5 months to do my own writing.
Yeah.
And completely alone and completely out of the art world. And that, when I started doing my own writing, I had a revelation about my whole position as a woman.
Yeah,
I mean, it was
yeah.
only when I could get into what my own experiences had been through this filter that was making art or whatever.
Yeah.
And I became a raving feminist all by myself out there. And by the time I got back, I just fell right into the movement.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah,
and that was.
I mean, I think
for
in
me. But war had already been going for 6 or 8 months, and they had done a small woman show, which was the first woman show that was done in New York, called X Times 12 or something. X 12.
I mean, do you think? And so, really, it was part of. A whole kind of political consciousness that was...
Oh, very much so, yeah.
Yeah,
I mean, I don't
yeah.
think I would have been able to recognize the sort of earmarks of oppression quite the same way if I hadn't...
Yeah, I mean, I think it arose very similarly in this country, you know, that the similar thing which was the equivalent, was the Artists' Union. And out of that grew the biggest grouping. But I think that there was a real dilemma for women artists, that although there was a need for a separate debate within that organisation, there was also an absolute crucial thing, that the women were absolutely active within it, so that they serviced everything, they kept the women's thing going into every single workshop that was going through. And I think that most of the energy actually went into that, and that's why, although the workshop grew to, I think it was about 70 people at one point, that the energy was dissipated through having to keep the consciousness of women's demands throughout the whole structure.
Well, that's interesting, because what happened with the coalition is that when then the fall of that year, a group of us got together and made a second women's organization, mainly because we couldn't be war and attack the same people again. Then the coalition really sort of fell apart, because the women had been doing half the work or most of the work and so on, and a lot of the energy was women. And when we got our own issue, the coalition itself kind of dribbled off, and that was that. It also had other reasons for falling apart. But
I mean, why do you think that? I mean, I gather that the women's art movement, we call it, seems to be the most outstanding thing that seems to have happened in the last few years in the States.
I
mean, that's the thing that seems to come across from this side of the Atlantic. I mean, why do you think that has happened? Rather than, as we've got here, in the last few months, we've seen it come to a kind of crucial point of a total social and political movement within which the women's thing fits into, although a lot of the women artists have not associated themselves with that and are completely unpoliticized.
In a funny way, there seems to be a stronger political art movement here, I mean, whatever you want to call it, socially concerned art or whatever, than there ever has been, in a curious way, in the States. I mean, we've never had a show like the Serpentine Art for Whom. We've never had a show like the Whitechapel show or whatever. And since there wasn't a strong movement like that, the women's movement just was completely separate. There were artists who were working politically, always through the coalition and so on, but it never became a real movement. I mean, and I'm sort of glad it didn't in a way, although I would have liked to have seen it have more strength. But, well, because of the movement aspect of New York art world. I mean, when you have a movement, I mean, that's one of the dangers of feminist art, is that it can be or has been called a movement.
Yeah.
Because movement is something that's going to go, kind of like, that means it's something you can get rid of fairly soon because of the bandwagon aspect of the New York art world, which is different from London. I mean, and one reason there's never been that kind of movement is that there isn't a market for it, and New York is much more dependent on the market aspect. I mean, there is a market in New York, which there isn't in London. And consequently, since there is one, everybody's in its thrall, and it has a great deal more to sort of... The market is this great abstract lump. It has a great deal more to say about what people do and don't. So, and the feminists were free of that because we weren't in the art world. I mean, I'm in the art world in the sense of writing, but the women at that point weren't being shown and weren't in galleries, and it wasn't a matter of rejecting galleries, which the men found it very difficult to do and didn't do.